Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line tonight my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, we're here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on another Thursday where we can give God the praise. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay.
Sheila G., we're continuing to study the book of Acts. And last week, we are finishing up chapter 11. And as we finished up chapter 11, we saw how from the persecution of church that God was able to reach more people and more people were saved because people actually came together, actually got serious about God, actually got their focus back, realized that God loved everyone, whosoever. We were talking about that last week, whether you're Jew or Gentile, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so in that 11th chapter, we see how Cornelius and Peter were used from the two different nations to overcome racism, to overcome one nation against another nation, to realize that they needed to depend on each other. And at the end, the nation that was being discriminated against actually ended up blessing the nation that was discriminating against them. And so just to see how God works to work on the hearts and minds of people for them to realize that the love of God is not a respecter of person for anyone. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's one thing that we're even seeing today, that God is not a respecter of person. And we have the opportunity to spread that love to one another, and there's such a huge contrast in what you see today. It's like pure hate and then pure love. And truly, as we're seeing people come together, there's more love than hate, and that love is coming from God.
Amen. And Dr. G, they tried to trip Jesus up, and the Jews were asking him in the gospel, you know, what's the greatest commandment, you know? And you know, they wanted, you know, to try to trip him up, and they wanted him to try to go through, you know, the 10 commandments, but he said that all of the commandments hang on these two, is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And when it breaks down to it, when people realize that you can see who's for real, when the Bible talks about how can you say you love God who you've not seen and hate your brother who you see daily, it's not that difficult to see who loves God. It's not that difficult to see what the problem is. And in today's society, we can see that also, is that if there's no love in your heart, it's going to show.
Amen.
G.
You're right. And because of the pandemic, Sheila, and we've talked about it before, it's just revealing everything. Those that are filled with hatred, that stuff is really coming out now. And those that are filled with love, you know, they're helping one another, doing for other people. I mean, when you watch how people are giving food away, and people are who've never had to wait for somebody to bring them food, I mean, it's amazing how God will work. But we see it even.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then Sheila, as we transition from chapter 11 to chapter 12, here we see Barnabas ministering, and Barnabas was he was a good man, he was a godly man, and he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and you know, it takes people that are strong in their faith to be able to minister in difficult times. You can't no fly by night folk. You know, and you got to be serious about this thing. And I know Dr. G, oftentimes you say you got to stop playing church. You got to stop playing church. You got to stop playing with this thing, because the enemy, he's not playing.
Right.
he on his job, and you know, a lot of times we used to call him back in the day. We used to call these guys that talk tough, we used to call them paper gangsters. You know, you just blow them away. And then some of the older folks used to call them breath and britches. You know, there's nothing to them. And the enemy sees right through that, and there's no foundation. But Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith. And when Stephen was killed, and persecuted for his strong belief, a lot of folks would tuck tail and run.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you see when it gets a little tough in the church, and you know, people are standing by faith, the pastor, the ministers are standing on the word of God, and you know, you ruffle some feathers, and you know, mm-hmm. it's dealing with people and dealing with all kind of issues and isms. You know, some people just tuck tail and run. But mm-hmm. if you stand on the word of God and hold on to your faith, God will bring you out. He never mm-hmm. said it was going to be easy.
Right.
But he said he would be there with you. And that's why you have to have faith. That's why you have to lean on the Holy Spirit to be able to minister in tough times, and realize that, as we talked about this last week, that ultimately God wants to get to a place where people are saved. And so
right.
God will allow the church to go through difficult times, to go through persecution, so those that are strong in the faith and filled with the Holy Spirit can stand up in the face of this adversity and in the face of this persecution to be able to minister to those that are lost, so they can see, hey, there's something about this faith, there's something about this Holy Spirit that I want to be a part of. They become a part of it, and then they spread it to somebody else. Sheila Jean.
Amen. And as you were talking about that, my mind was going back to the whole armor of God, that God tells us to put on the whole armor of God and stand so we can withstand the wiles of the devil. And in that whole armor, he covers everything except for the back.
Mm-hmm.
That's because, like you said, he wants us to stand. He wants us to have that faith. He wants us to have that sword. And he doesn't want us to turn back, because we don't have to. If we trust in the Holy Spirit, we can fight through it and stand and keep moving. If we run, our back is not protected. And then if we run, then in addition to the fact we don't need to run because he has our back, so we don't need to turn.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing on our back, but he has our back. And if we follow him and trust in him, he'll help us to get through. And that's even, especially like in the church or within your family situation, if there's the faithful few. As long as you've got the faithful few versus a whole bunch of people that are halfway committed, God wants to have the faithful few. I've been studying this week Psalm 37, and you know, we always want to quote that first part about fret not thyself because of evildoers. But if you read deeper in that, the whole thing is not having to fret our commitment to the Lord, because it says he will look over the righteous, that the unrighteous may be thinking they're getting over, but they're not getting over. But the righteous will be taken care of. And so I think sometimes we get that thing twisted around where we're weak in our faith because we're like, well, the Lord's going to take care of it, but we're not willing to be committed to the Lord and withstand the wiles of the devil, saying that we're just going to trust in the Lord. We just want God to fix it all the time. God take care, God make a way. But when he makes a way, are we giving him the glory? Are we praising him? Are we coming to church? Are we doing Bible study, prayer service? Are we witnessing to others about the goodness of the Lord? No. So then that scripture is not going to apply to us about evildoers because we'll be weak, and Satan will just have us go following him, and then we'll just keep falling into those pitfalls versus standing, being committed to the Lord. Then we'll have that peace and we'll have that joy knowing that God will fight our battles.
Amen. Amen. And it's always good to have someone to be in the battle alongside you, and that's what I love. I don't know how many years have we been doing Bible studies together, Dr. G. I can't remember.
What is it?
It's about 2013. Right?
Yeah, I think since about 2013.
So we're going on like seven years of Bible study together. And so when we look at the end of that chapter 11, Paul and Barnabas, they got together and ministered. In other words, when we understand that we can help each other in ministry, there's no big I, there's no little U's. What happens is in verse 24 of that chapter 11, saying he was a good man full of faith of the Holy Spirit, talking about Barnabas and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found them, he brought them to Antioch. And it says, so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And see, here you have ministry, brothers in ministry working together on one accord, and great numbers of people are being saved and brought together. And a lot of times you have churches, they don't want a fellowship. They don't want to teach. They don't want to do Bible study. They don't want to do. I remember one year we had a church. What was that? Was that at a park? We had church in the park.
Yeah.
Remember that? Where was that at? And I think it was in Clinton at a park. We just had, you know, fellowship in the church. And it's so important to not just skip over these type of things, to realize that there's a power in working together in ministry, Dr. G.
Well, you're right, and you know, I agree with you 100%. But too often, you know, we live in a society where everybody wants to do their own thing. I mean, I remember way back growing up at First Rock, and, you know, prayer service, you'd always have the same faithful few. Bible study, if you get one or two, you're doing good. And mm-hmm. when we decided to come together, I thought it was a good idea because you're not going to really ever get the kind of numbers that you want. But like you said, mm-hmm. if you get two or three of faithful few
mm-hmm.
who are serious about their walk with Christ, and, it, you know, it doesn't matter. That's why I tell folks, it doesn't matter to me who preaches on Sunday as long as the word is going forth. I'm not one
Amen.
Of those preachers where I've got to preach every Sunday. I like to bring in young preachers and give them an opportunity because I realize that they're not going to get a lot of preachers are not going to get preaching time at some of these churches because the pastor
mm-hmm.
has to preach every Sunday. He's got to teach every Sunday. He's got to do every Bible study. And the
mm-hmm.
thing is, in order for other people to learn, I found that by sharing the pulpit, you know, you give it a
yeah.
change of pace, and the people, you give it a variety, and the
mm-hmm.
people are blessed by it. But when we come together, I mean, we've been doing Bible study now for, what, 7 years, and there's
mm-hmm.
no guys, no little youth. Look, as long as it's being taught and
mm-hmm.
people, to enjoy the way that we're going and the way that we're doing it. That's the main thing to me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so it shows us that this can be done when people work together, that the church can benefit. And I thought that was important to bring up. And when we see this, you know, they're working together, they're being led by the Spirit, God is getting the glory. And they're realizing that God's getting the glory, and so they're getting out of God's way, and realizing that God loves both groups, and it's important for us to realize that God loves His people, His creation, and so in the midst of this persecution, God got the glory, and so that jumps us over to chapter 12, and chapter 12 is a I would say it's an eye opener because persecution is continuing.
Yep.
But the vessels of evil that bring about the persecution are getting ready to get dealt with. Sheila G, you mentioned that Psalm 37 where it talks about, you know, fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they soon shall be cut down and wither like green grass. And when we look at chapter 12, we're going to see persecution of the church. Peter, back in Jerusalem, he's going to be persecuted by King Herod.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews were allowed to practice their religion under the Roman authority under Herod, and he was evil. But he was in charge.
Amen.
And so when you have evil leaders in charge, it's difficult for the people that they're over top of. And they have to rely on their faith to realize that God's going to get the glory and that ultimately the evil leaders will be brought down. And you know, you start chapter 12, and, you know, I guess this is a trend that we're doing now, is we started verse 1 of chapter 12, and we're trying to get to verse, where is it at? We're trying to get to verse 24. and verse 24 says, but the word of God continued to spread and flourish. So we're trying to go from verse 1 where they're being persecuted, Peter's being put in jail, and we're trying to go through this story and get to verse 24, where the word of God continued to spread and flourish. And in order to get there, the angel of the Lord, and God has angels that carry out his work in the earth. In other words, angelic beings carry out the work of the Lord in the earth. And when the Bible says, be careful how you treat people, because you may entertain angels unaware. In other words,
right.
They're the beings that come in to our human and our five senses in our human realm to be able to carry out the work of the Lord. And so in order for us to get to verse 24, God uses angels to assist in our human theater, or our human doings or going-ins in our human environment. And so this is where God uses angels to perform the miraculous in the life of our ordinary human existence in order for his word to get to verse 24, where he says, "Would the word of God continue to spread?" And so here we see Saul and Barnabas prosper, the word prospers through persecution. And now we're going to see Peter go through persecution, and the angels, God's going to dispatch angels to allow him to continue to minister and allow the king or the evil leader at that time to be taken down. But it just lets us know that it gets tough time, it gets rough sometimes, but God has a plan, and God's not going to always allow the evil leadership to endure, that it will come to an end, but we just have to continue to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our work in the Lord, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so it's interesting to see how the angelic affects the human to also help carry out the word of God. Sheila G.
Amen. As you were talking about that, I was thinking about that song that we were taught in Sunday school, "All Night, All Day, Angels Watching Over Me, My Lord."
Yes. Yeah.
That was like the first song that we learned in Sunday school, but it's very true, because all of us have experienced things that didn't make sense from a human standpoint, where you know it was nobody but the Lord. All of us have seen miracles in our life. We've been through situations where it seemed like it was an impossible situation, but because we trusted in the Lord, somehow, some way, he worked it out. And sometimes I even used to think about that when I had to travel across the Beltway a lot. And, you know, to go out, drive from here,
yes,
up to Montgomery County. And it seemed like there was always an accident, a truck tripping over on the Beltway or something like that. But a lot of times it would be something where I'm trying to get all the kids together, get them ready, drop them off at daycare, drop them off at school. And for some reason, somebody couldn't find a shoe or something. And I used to get upset about the fact that y'all are making me late for work, because I got to take you here, take you there. I got to get you dressed and get out of here.
Yep.
And I got an hour's drive to work. But as I grew in faith, as I grew and started trusting the Lord, I started to look at the little things. And it seemed like every time it was somebody's shoe I couldn't find, or somebody, the kids were fighting, so I had to break up the fight, or something happened where I left the house a little bit later, it was a time where there was like an accident, and God started speaking to me and saying, "Now see, if you had left at that particular time, that could be you caught up in that accident." So I started recognizing the little miracles in our life and stop taking those for granted.
Amen. That's awesome stuff. Dr. G?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I preached from chapter 12 on Sunday. And I asked the question, "Why me, Lord?" And the answer I gave him was, where it said in there that the church grew. And whenever God's work is going forth, the enemy gets busy. He's going to throw stuff at us. He's going to try to cause things to be disrupted. He does not want the church to grow. But if we would stay fast, steadfast, stay the course, you know, and again, God knows what he's doing. And
yes, he does.
Allows all of that for a reason. Our job is just to take it at face value and put our faith and trust in him, knowing that, you know, he's going to take care of it all. you know, folk been talking about number 45, Agent Orange, and this, that, and the other. I've been praying. I'm praying
Amen.
Over the Lord, praying on him, and I'm asking the Lord deliver us from evil, him and all his little cronies. And, you know, encouraging folk to get out and vote. I'm not trying not to think about logical because he and his little folks is, there's not about logic. They're about sneakiness and they're corruptible. But I'm praying. I'm putting my faith in God, not in man.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's amazing, like y'all saying that you know God is going to get the glory out of this, and he gets us to be able to understand. And a lot of times, in the heat of the moment, in the heat of our humanness, we don't pay attention or we don't understand.
Right.
But when you sit down, like you say, you slow down a little bit, Sheila G. You realize that you know God's getting the glory out of this thing, you know, and like you said, Dr. Z, why me, Lord? And God will reveal it to us in time, in His time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes we just have to meditate. Sometimes we just have to wait on God. And,
right.
and it's not easy because we're impatient people. We can't even wait for the daggone microwaves. Lord have mercy. they're standing there looking at the daggone microwaves. Like, oh, my God. Can't wait a minute for something to cook in a nuke in the microwave. But that's just our humanness. And
right.
we have to continue to realize it's going to take a while to get from verse 1 to verse 24. And that's
right.
what I think in ministry and as ministry leaders, we have to continue to teach that, you know, God's timing is not our timing.
Right.
God's ways are not our ways,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it takes time. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
is in a much of a hurry as we are, God knows that it's going to take time for this thing to develop the way He needs it to develop.
Right.
And we just have to, as that 27th song say, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. And wait, I say, upon the Lord. We have to learn how to wait, which is not an easy thing. And we find Peter in chapter 12, verse 1, doing the work of the Lord and getting into some good trouble.
Mm-hmm.
As John Lewis would say, getting in trouble for the Lord, and he's waiting on God. And as he waited on God, he had a won't he do it moment. In chapter 11, they had an aha moment with Peter and Cornelius, and we see Peter having a won't he do it moment.
Mm-hmm.
and when Herod gets taken down, we see that the whole nation has a won't he do it moment. But in order to get to the won't he do it moment, we got to wait on God, and God's
right.
going to send his angel to take care of business, to deliver us from the hand of the enemy. Sheila G.
Amen. Yes, and won't he do it? He will definitely deliver us from the hand of the enemy, because the enemy is always present, so we have to stay prayed up, walk in faith, not by sight. Otherwise, he will sneak up on you, and sometimes he'll sneak up on you through somebody that's close to you. And
mm-hmm.
that's why we have to be alert, because we are human beings, and so it could be somebody in the house that may have had a bad day, and they may come at you in a certain way, but you have to stay prayed
yep.
up to recognize that, okay, this is the enemy trying to distract me. I know that Pastor, he had been having some problems with his neck, and we got these new pillows, and with the new pillows, he hadn't had any problems. Well, all
mm-hmm.
of a sudden today, his neck started bothering him again. So, but he
mm-hmm.
immediately called it out, and he immediately said, that's
mm-hmm.
just the enemy trying to distract me because I haven't had any problems. And we've been
mm-hmm.
having a good time between church and prayer service and a congregation.
Yep.
We've been encouraged. encouraging one another. We've all been on one accord. We've been having a great Bible study. We've been calling Satan out. So he is going to attack the leaders. We've been having a great Sunday school. But we have to walk with him and talk with him to know, recognize when the enemy's coming at us. He could have gotten mad. He could have been in, like, a funky mood because he didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually was like, yep, I'm in pain, but that's okay. And we just had a great evening. But sometimes Satan will use that. And if you're not alert, because you're human, you're not feeling well, you're going to lash out at everybody. And then everybody's going to start reacting then. And the next thing you know, Satan's sitting up there smiling. But because when you're walking in the Lord, you recognize it, call a spade, and then you don't start passing it and taking it out on other people by the same token, me recognizing that, okay, the Satan is messing with him physically, then I don't become oversensitive because I know that he's trying to start some isms and schisms. And we recognize that, especially in the church. Because Satan really wants to sift us like wheat. So, you know, we've all been in the church where you got the cliques and you got the people acting a certain way. And if I'm not on this choir or talking about this person doing this and talking about people behind their backs, we have all seen that. And that is the trick of the enemy. So we need to stay on one accord. We need to encourage one another. We need to lift each other up so that we can get through this and see the miracles of God helping us to enemy.
Amen. Amen. So let's get to chapter 12, verse 1. And in chapter 12, verse 1, I'm reading from the NIV. It says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. And, you know, you have, we talk about this often, you have the two areas that Satan manipulates, and that is the church and political institutions.
You know,
Book of Revelation talks about political or religious Babylon and political Babylon, and those are the areas that Satan attacks the human race through their religion and through their politics. And religion and politics can be used for good to influence people morally to their benefit. And it also can be used to be used for bad, to manipulate people to some of their worst tendencies. And we see that in today's society with religious leaders.
Right.
Using it to manipulate for bad, and political leaders using it to manipulate for bad. And so those are the things that drive people, their emotions. I would say a majority of their emotions are driven by their moral stance or their political stance. And if your moral stance, your political stance doesn't line up with the Word of God, what happens is it becomes divisive. And you have nations that are pitted against nations based upon their politics and based upon their religion. And that's why it's important for people to transcend politics and religion, to have a moral foundation based upon not religion or politics, but based upon their faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have that faith in God, then you can distinguish whether the politics or the religion is of God or is pleasing to God, because it will line up with God. And so here in this 12th chapter, in verse 1, you see that the political leadership of King Herod is coming against the religious leadership of the church, because the order of the Jewish religion was being turned upside down by Christianity. And so Herod took advantage of the situation to try to gain popularity by turning the religious leaders of the Jews against the Christian church and causing division among them, And so what he would do is he would pit one group against the other to try to gain favor for himself with one group. And we can see that same tactic of the enemy in today's politics and religion, where you have one group being pitted against another group by leaders in charge of politics or in charge of religion to pit one against the other. And it's not like they care about each other. The only thing is they just want to stay in power. So the religious Jewish leaders wanted to stay in power, and the political Roman leaders wanted to stay in power. So whatever they could do to gain favor with the common people to stay in power, that's what they did. Whether it's lock them up, whether it's persecute them, whatever it is, to try to retain power. Shilji.
Amen. And that's one of Satan's favorite tools, is to attach that ego, that pride of life, that power. And like I was just saying before, if you're not in tune with what the Lord wants, and if you're not in one accord, that power will get to your head, but it's fake.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually it falls apart. And then instead of, you know, coming to the Lord, coming together on one accord, everybody's still struggling to get on top, which is just giving the enemy more tools to attack. But like you said,
mm-hmm.
in the end, those who trust in God win.
Yes, yes. And Dr. G, these religious leaders, they don't care anything about the people. They just care about themselves. So
uh-huh.
this is what ultimately is going to get Herod killed. The angel is actually going to strike him, because he's going to think he's God, and the angel eventually is going to strike him and bring him down. But it lets us know is that we got to give God the praise, we got to give God the glory. I don't care how rich you are, I don't care how poor you are, we got to give God the praise, and not to think that we have anything of our own, but it's because of the glory of God. And when we begin to start giving God the glory, what happens is we begin to start treating each other better, and treating each other like God loves us, because we have the proper relationship with God. And when we have the proper relationship with God, then we won't get caught up in politics. We won't get caught up in religion. And trying to be so egotistical. And I know a lot of times Dr. G said about the Reverend Bishop, Reverend Bishop, his grace and all of that, where these religious leaders have forgotten, you know, who is supposed to get the glory, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And, you know, I was just sitting here because I think that too often what happens, our focus is off of, you know, off of the Lord. You know, we're looking at everything but God. We'll use God as a tool to promote what we want to do, but we're not really doing what we should do, because if your focus is on the Lord, God is going to keep you humble, and if you stay humble, you do right by the people and everything else. Unlike, you know, and you look in the religious field, you know, and that's one thing that really turned me off was how a lot of the Baptist preachers, all of a sudden now, they want to become bishops. It wasn't good enough just to be pastor. You know, they had to have an actual title. And then when I see them referring to those who are above them as His grace, and I mean, that really got my goat. I mean, the only one that I can turn to like that is God. I can't call man. So, you know, we're looking above that. We've gone above that. And then when you look in the political arena, you know, certain people talking about they are the chosen one. But yet he had the nerve the other day to talk about the Bible. And when he reads the Bible, I mean, boyfriend has blasphemed against God so many different ways, and you better believe that he's going to have to pay for all of that. But again, those of us if we stay focused and keep our focus on God, God will bless us in ways that we can't even imagine. But we've got to stay focused, and stay focused, we'll stay humble.
Amen, amen. So here again, we see in chapter 12, verse 1, the church is being persecuted, you know, and you know, we're looking for the won't he do it moment in verse 24. But before we can get to verse 24, we got to get to these other verses. So in verse 2, he said he had James, talking about Herod, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. So he tried some stuff with James, and in verse 3 it says, and we saw that this was met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. So here, Sheila G, you see this political leader dabbling in, religious leader trying it out, see how far he can push it. How can he push it? Can I push
familiar.
It? I'm gonna push it a little bit. Push it a little bit. Let's go ahead and you know, kill James,
mm-hmm.
and see if I can get away with it.
Right.
And it pleased the Jews, because the Jews didn't want to hear anything about Christianity. They didn't want to
right.
hear anything about other than what they were. And so, you know, it's and some of these Jewish Christians were Jews. In other words, they were okay until they started believing in Jesus, and
mm-hmm.
then they started killing them. And so you see these tactics that have been used down through the years of pushing, see how far I can get. Can I get away with this? Can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? And when it sees the people agree with it, with approval, then they continue to do it. And you know, that's the same tactic that we see today that was going on back then. You have political and religious leaders seeing how far they can push the envelope for their own ego, their own glory. Sheila G.
Amen. That made me think of that scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The problem is people are seeking first the approval of man. And
mm-hmm.
so by pushing that envelope, you may be a short-sighted or short-lived victory.
Yeah.
You won't have the eternal victory because you're trying to please man, and there's nothing that man can do for you except for maybe momentarily boost that ego. So you just keep pushing it, but God is right there. And just like I said in Psalm 37, eventually,
mm-hmm.
it even says that. It says the unrighteous
yep.
are doing stuff. They think that they're getting away with it, but
yep.
in God's own time, for the righteous, he will deliver them and deliver it unto
yeah.
you. So, and that's how that works. It's like God gives them enough rope to hang themselves, but the problem is we have too many people pleasers. It's like, as long as man is praising me, as long as man, what does man really do for you? Nothing. At the end of the day, nothing, but that's that pride, that's that ego that everybody,
mm-hmm.
It is so short-sighted and short-lived. So by the time when you do, and like you said, we get greedy. Man gets greedy and is like, oh, everybody likes me now. Oh, everybody likes
exactly.
me now. Then as soon as you take it too far, then you're like, oh, nobody likes me anymore. Well, that's what you get for depending on man and not depending on God.
Amen. Amen. And you know, you see him pushing this envelope, seeing what he can get away with. What can he do to stay in power?
Right.
And, you know, that verse 3, it said he saw this met with approval among the Jews. He proceeded
mm-hmm.
to seize Peter also. This happened mm-hmm. during the festival of the unleavened bread. So that when they were observing the Passover feast, you know, when you know, Moses gave instructions to the children of Israel that were in bondage in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
They instituted the Passover, and, you know, they had this Passover feast. And so during this time, he knew how to take advantage to try to gain favor with the Jews so he could stay in power over top of them. And so he realized that there was some dissension in the Jewish community, between the Christians and the Jews, the traditional Jews. And so he decided to draw a wedge and choose that division by killing the Christian Jews. And, you know, you see that same wedge of division where political and religious leaders are doing today. And so, you know, they were manipulated. And
yep.
There was this, you know, battle between good and battle between evil, battle between Christian Jews, non-Christian Jews, and the political arena. And you're always going to have that to a certain extent. And so when you look at verse 4, you see how it was carried out. It's in verse 4, after arresting him, talking about being arrested, Peter, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So here again you see the political leaders working with the religious leaders. Here they're bringing in the servants of the military or the guards that are in the midst of it. And so you see the military carrying out unjust orders. You see the religious leaders okaying unjust orders, and you see the political leaders okaying unjust things.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're always going to have that. You're always going to have those elements of people that are in authority that are willing to do unjust things. And it's difficult for the people that are trying to do what's right. It's trying to do what's right. You know, James was trying to do what's right, and he was killed with a sword. Peter was arrested, and now they want to march him out during the Passover and make a public spectacle of him, of the trial after the Passover. And so it's all about trying to manipulate people so
right.
that they can stay in power. Sheila G.
Amen. And like you said, there's such a parallel today of the same thing where wanting to stay in power, people are compromising the word,
mm-hmm.
compromising morality, compromising what they know is not of God. And that's what happens. They're compromising to be a part of this world and have power in this world, not realizing that this world has limited power. And that's what's happened with the religious leaders. It's like here they're compromising. They know that that's not right. Peter didn't do anything for them to put him in jail, but they turned that, you know, they didn't stand up for him on the religious side. But then the military jumps in. They're like, okay, he handed up to the guards. They didn't stand up and say, you know what, this is not really what our role is in the military.
Mm-hmm.
They're following the king, which he knows is not right. And he's too is just trying to do whatever he can to do to stay in power. But the religious portion of the religious leaders, you know, here you're celebrating Passover, the victory that God
mm-hmm.
gave, and they know where how far God has brought them through. They know the power of God, but they're willing to compromise to stay in power.
Amen. And Dr. G, I always listen to you when you say that when you're pastoring that you're gonna stand on the word of God, and you're not gonna compromise. You're gonna do what the Lord said, and all the naysayers, you know, just gonna have to get over it. And I always like to hear you say that. And you know, I learned from that you know, you gotta stand on the word. You can't be swayed by the way people are going to act or what they're going to say, or if they don't like you, you got to stand on the word of God. Dr. G.
Amen. Well, I've been in church too long, and I've seen some good pastors. I've seen some bad pastors. I've seen pastors whose morality just went out the window. But I promised the Lord that when he made me pastor, I was going to do what he tell me to do, because God has been too good. And when I came to new birth, there was so much going on there. I mean, I was just like a little kid fresh off out the store. But he had prepared me, and I had been prepared in the ministry, so I knew what to do. But I could not let all of what was going on change my mind as to what God wanted to be done. So I literally watched New Birth, Clean House, about two or three times in order to get to the point of where it is now. And the folk there, and I tell them all the time, you know, I'm not one of those preachers that I'm just going to bite my tongue when I see something wrong. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And if we have to go back into the study where we have a one-on-one, so be it. But, you know, that's the only way that I can pass. So that's the only way that I can feel good about what I'm doing and feel confident in knowing that I'm doing what God wants. I've got to stand on that word. I've got to make a stand if nobody else does. And I think that's some of what we've lost, definitely in the religious field. We don't see it in the political field, but in the religious field, you would think that there would be more leaders taking that kind of stand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And times crept up on us. we're coming to the end of the hour. It's getting good. It's getting good, but we're going to go to the phone lines. But Peter hadn't got to his wanted to do it moment, so I'm going to ask the question: how do you maintain until you can get to the wanted to do it moment? In other words, you're waiting on your blessing. You know, and you know he's going to do it. And so how do you maintain until you get to your won't he do it moment when he actually comes through? And we're going to go to the first caller, last four digits, 1741. 1741, you on the air?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I constantly pray, to be honest with you. And amen, I keep reminding myself that God, he sees all and he knows all. And I constantly ask him, help me to be patient and wait on him, because I know that he's going to work every situation out and it's going to be for the good. So when I find myself becoming weary, I ask the Lord, just help me to get back into his word, read a little bit more, pray a little bit harder. The Lord always blesses me. Sometimes he sends other Christians along to encourage. I might hear a sermon. God gonna find a way for. He's gonna show his people. He's gonna take care of his people. But the main thing I have to ask the Lord to help me to stay humble and focused on what he wants and have his will to be done in my life. And as we go through the pandemic, as we go through the election, this is what we have to ask God to do, to help us to stay humble and focused, because in the end, God, he's going to win. Everything is going to work out for our good. And so we have to keep praying. And for the people that sometimes the enemy comes in and he takes them off this game, like we saw it happen the other night. We have to pray for those people, that God will keep them focused and keep their mind on what they need to do. And don't come down to the other man's level. And if we can ask God to just keep us humble and focused and keep that word, stay in that, you know, just keep asking the Holy Spirit to guide us, because temptation is going to come. And this is why we pray daily, Lord, deliver us from evil. Keep us from temptation. Mm-hmm. Keep us from evil. Because, see, we can't keep ourselves. And we get in trouble when we think that we can't. But we don't have the power to keep ourselves. We have to lean and depend on Jesus every step of the way. Every step of the way. And keep that watchful eye. Always keep that watchful eye. Lord, help me. Help me to see. Open up my eyes spiritually so that I can see, so that I can have understanding. And most of all, hold my tongue. that's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hold my tongue. Don't let me talk too much. Don't let me, you know, it might be right what I'm saying, but it might not be the time to say it. So
Amen.
Help me. Help me to just speak in the season, and when I say it, let it be beneficial. Let it be worth listening to it. Let it be of grace and be a benefit, that it will be a help and not a hindrance. And the only way we can do that is constantly ask God to order our steps in His Word and let the Holy Spirit guide us day by day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 0072. 0072, you're on the air. 0072. Yeah, we can go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I think for me, it is a process. I know the caller before me had stated, you know, definitely talking about prayer, which is something that I try to be more consistent in. But I think the other thing, too, is you have to have faith. You have to trust in the Lord. And I think in order to have those things, you have to understand the Word and you have to get embedded in the Word. I think a lot of times when we're going through things and we're waiting, we don't really understand why we're waiting. We don't understand what's going on. But the Bible speaks to those things, and there's so many characters in the Bible and individuals in the Bibles that were put in positions that we were in where they had to wait on the Lord and be patient in the midst of adversity. So I've also had to kind of get a better understanding of the Word, and by doing that, it helped put things in perspective to me. I've always been an advocate for this about leaning on my resources. That's something that I've always done too when I'm, you know, waiting for that moment. A lot of times we feel that we're in these things by ourselves. We feel like we have to go through them by ourselves. But I found people that I can pray with, people that I can talk to, people that, you know, can kind of help me and give me a word or give me a scripture, just kind of put me mentally and spiritually where I need to be, because mm-hmm. the process can be draining. But if you don't have those mechanisms in place where you can recharge your battery, a la a Bible study, or recharge your, you know what I'm saying, your focus and regain your focus. You know, some things we do on Wednesday with prayer service, it is going to be a struggle and it is going to drain you. And then I think sometimes, too, we just need to take a step back. I think sometimes we allow it to consume every aspect of our life. Sometimes it's good to just try to step back, try to put your focus elsewhere, because I think a lot of times, too, when you focus elsewhere, you're still moving and going through it, and God is still working, but it just seems longer because we're dwelling on it. It seems longer because we can't just let it go and try to put our attention elsewhere on more things that are more positive or try to help somebody else out. And that was a big lesson that I've had to learn. When I've been going through something, I realized, like, you know what, mm-hmm. if I'm helping somebody else out or trying to be there for someone as best as I can be or just kind of take the attention off woe is me, it ends up seeming like the process moves much faster and the end result gets there much quicker. So I've learned that I try not to dwell on things. I try to say, you know what, it's in God's hand. I'm going to worry about what I can control, and I'm going to just leave it alone and not even give it any energy and use that energy that I have for positive things or to try to help somebody else out. So for me, those are kind of the things that I've adopted to kind of help me get through up until when God reveals to me whatever it is that He wants me to see. But, you know, it definitely starts, in my opinion, faith, prayer, and understanding the Word to me are probably the most crucial parts of that process. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 3343. 3343, you're on
there. Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Like we said some time ago, come Thursday ago, but stay out of God's way. I mean, God's got them to do. You pray to Him and you set your mouth closed and you get on your knees, and sometimes it hurts and sometimes you can't get, it ain't going fast enough for you. So you learn to cry. When you cry, man said man ain't supposed to cry, but that's not really true. When his tears coming and it came like you wanted to come with it, stand out God's way, and then you done prayed on it and let it alone. That's all you can do. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We can go to our next caller. That was it for our callers. So Dr. G, you can give us your final comments and close us out in prayer, please, sir?
Sure, Will. I think we have to really just make up in our own minds that we're going to stay the course, no matter how hard it gets. I mean, I've been in the ministry for 47 years, pastoring for 25. So that's a good portion of my life right there that's been dedicated and committed to serving the Lord. Has it been easy? No. Has it been worth it? Yes. And as you grow in the body of Christ, you get to a point where you learn, as Brandon said, you pray and you learn to just leave it alone. And we've got to wait on God. He may not come when mm-hmm. we want, but you've got to wait on him. And then while you're waiting, you be of good courage, because getting mad is not going to change anything. But, we have to make up in our own minds that we're going to stay the course, and come hell or high water, I'm going to do what the Lord say. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just one more day. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the word. We thank you for being able to get into the word. Help us now, Lord, that we might continue to grow by that word and live by it, Lord. And I'm praying that others would understand that they need what we're giving them. Father, we thank you. We pray that you'll be with us the rest of the week. And whatever your will is, oh God, just let it be done. For we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.